97.5, The Fanatic.
What is going on, everyone? 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Hunter Brody. I have you until 3 p.m. Dylan McKinnon is producing today's show. I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a good mood. And normally, I'm not going to lie, I like to really, I'm not going to use the word nitpick, but I like to peel back the layers and dissect things heavily because I think there's a lot of validity to it. But I also feel at times you should just enjoy the moment, enjoy the ride, enjoy where a team is. Big picture, I think that there's definitely question marks and things you should be worried about. And the next handful of games will help us get the outcome, I guess, or get the information that we're looking for based off of that outcome. But ultimately, right now, I'm seeing a football team. And yes, we'll begin with the Eagles, but this applies to the Sixers and the Flyers as well. We'll start with the squad in green, though, that we'll see play the New York Giants. And this Eagle squad has some buzz. Right now, and you watch the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, there's some energy here that I'm just appreciating. If you told me 2 months ago that I'd be sitting here with some confidence and some swag and like a decent approach, I'd probably laugh in your face. No way. Dallas is running away with things. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to put my mortgage down that the Eagles win the division or go in this absurd run to that level just because of a loss yesterday that we witnessed with the Cowboys. But I will say the way this team is playing and they're running the football down your throat and the offensive line is the most dominant thing we've seen this year that's really opening up this team. Really. I mean, we could talk about the threat of Jalen Hurts and his legs, and that adds as well. But step one is win your battle in the trenches. Step one is Jordan Mailata throwing Cameron Jordan with one arm down to the ground and then tackling Davenport and getting in the face of every player. And then Jason Kelce getting to the second layer and throwing his body around as well at his age while Lane Johnson is being a menace to the right side. It all begins there. And then, of course, step two is the threat of Jalen Hurts and his ability to put the football in the chest of any running back. And one Mississippi, two Mississippi, the defender having to make a choice. And bang, Jalen Hurts picks the counter, the perfect counter. Or even Nick Sirianni dialing up a good game plan. Oh, what's that? They're bringing pressure? Okay, perfect. Let's throw a little quick screen and gain 10, 15 yards and move the chains and consistently get this offense going. So we could sit here and question why it took so long. And I think that's fair. We can question Jonathan Gannon. And just because there's no quarterback or wide receivers on the other side that scares him, he has the ability now to be more aggressive and send extra people towards the opponent's quarterback, whether it's Avante Maddox or Alex Singleton. You could tell that he feels more comfortable because there really is no threat on the other side. Would he feel the same way if Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert was there? I don't know. I don't know the information of that, and we won't really see that test until Dak Prescott at the end of the season, because until then it's Daniel Jones and the Washington football team. You got the New York Jets, who are a complete disaster. But even though that matters, I want to sit here today and just appreciate that they did make those adjustments, and there is something to that. And Nick Sirianni, while I don't know why he looked at Jalen Hurts early on and said, let's keep him in shotgun and throw the football 40 times, but I do know that not every head coach would be willing to scrap that concept so quickly. Maybe a year from now, let's try something different next season. No, he scrapped it quickly and say, you know what, the first 5-6 weeks, it's been a disaster. This is not benefiting Jalen Hurts. It's not benefiting this football team. Let's go. Miles Sanders is unavailable. Let's bring up Jordan Howard. What's Jordan Howard's strengths? Let's pound the rock. And the offensive line going up to Nick Sirianni during one of those games as well, saying, let's stick with this because it's working. It just shows me, and with Nick Sirianni saying, okay, yes, I agree. And him actually listening, a head coach willing to listen, open door policy, and change his concepts and beliefs. It's not something that's standard in this league. You normally get, this is my team. This is my idea. This is my concepts. This is my game plan. This is my X's and O's. Trust me, it works. Without the willingness to, and this word kind of works out perfectly, with the self-assessment, which is what we heard in weeks past. before they had extra time due to playing on a Thursday night. They had more time to self-assess. Well, they did. They did. Maybe not to the pace that we would have liked it to, but at the end of the day, here we are. And the end result is they've put together a structured plan that is mowing down teams. And the Saints have a great D. You saw it yesterday. If they actually had a quarterback, and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara being hurt clearly significantly hinders what they're able to do offensively, even with a better quarterback. But if they had a better quarterback, you're talking about a legit playoff team of the New Orleans Saints based off of the talent they have on the defensive side. Now, Diggs was breaking some ankles out there against Lattimore in the end zone. I thought, wow, what excellent footwork. But with Lattimore and Malcolm Jenkins coming down into the box, still being what he is, and Cameron Jordan and Davenport when healthy, there's legitimacy to what the Eagles were able to do and how much they annihilated that matchup. So I'm here thinking about the Giants. And I don't see a way that this team loses. The only real scenario I heard so far, which I get it, it is valid, but it shows me a lot on where the Eagles are and maybe where the Giants are as well. You never know with the NFL. When that's your answer to how can the Eagles lose, it tells me that the Eagles have a great percentage because your mentality basically is, well, you know, you never know because the league is fluky. Instead of saying, well, they could win the game because of this matchup. They could win the game because of X, Y, and Z. Nobody's saying, well, the Giants are going to win up front with that offensive line. There's no way in hell. Oh, they're going to win because of the quarterback. Daniel Jones, if you put pressure on the kid, he's going to make mistakes and make very poor throws. Their running game, I mean, hell, they just got rid of Jason Garrett, and here comes Kitchens in there. And maybe you can make the argument that anything's going to be better than Jason Garrett, but with this amount of time, they're going to have this beautiful, beautiful idea that's going to be executed perfectly with a snap of their fingers and beat the Eagles. So I'm not ruling it out. It's not impossible. But all I'm saying is heading into the matchup, if your answer to, well, how are the Eagles going to lose? It's the NFL. The Texans won last week. The Titans lost. The Jets do have a win on their record. Well, then, sure. All I'm saying is the percentage is extremely small when that is the only availability to come out victorious. The Eagles have swag right now. I think it's great. Darius Slay playing at an excellent level. You got some great press by him, just reading routes easily. Avante Maddox has been balling, earned himself a nice little payday. TJ Edwards, there's a bright spot. Now, you still need more at the linebacker position. Every year, we get excited about one because I believe the bar is set so low. For example, Grugier Hill was a guy, and then last year it was Alex Singleton, but then once Alex Singleton played nonstop, you realize there were flaws in his games. I don't put TJ Edwards in that category by any means. He could play more than the other guys that I just mentioned. All around, though, you still need more in that area. It's just amazing. You go from Eric Wilson and Alex Singleton. Now, Davion Taylor's injured, but you saw his positives. You also saw his flaws out there from being so inexperienced at the game, not playing as much as some of these other players. But the ability to be something was definitely in there. Hard-nosed, tough, brought that physical element, wasn't afraid to make tackles, speedy. TJ Edwards, though, because he's going to be out there on the field for you. I'm embracing this run right now, and I'm excited. You have meaningful football, and nothing's better than meaningful football. And if your answer is draft picks, because at the end of the day, this Eagles team isn't good enough to win a championship, I need to have a word with you. I do. I want to talk this out with you. If you still have that philosophy in your brain, it's better to have a pick than it is for this team to bring you in some emotional journey and to win some football games, whether they can win the championship or not, which I think it's pretty damn clear that they can't. Don't take away what this means for the growth of Nick Sirianni, for the growth of Jalen Hurts. This gives us information that we need from your quarterback. What's it like being on the road? What's it like silent snap counts in a high-pressure situation? Third quarter, you're coming out of halftime, it's 14-10, it's 21-17. Those are meaningful snaps that I value when we're trying to make an assessment here on a quarterback more than I do one or two picks differently in the draft. And don't tell me it's because, well, Howie Roseman's a disaster. That's a flawed mentality. You don't want your team to do well because you're afraid of the general manager? You can't do that. You have to reassess your brain if that's the way that you think. All I know is right now, today, as we analyze what's going to happen on Sunday afternoon in New York, or I guess I should say in New Jersey, I'm feeling good about this Eagles team. I'm proud of them. I'm excited about what Nick Sirianni can be. I think he's made huge improvements. Not a perfect product. This team is not perfect, and that's why when I look at the full schedule remaining, there's no way I personally can write them off for all these wins. Maybe it's because they shoot themselves in the foot one game, some penalties happen, Derek Barnett hits the quarterback for 15 yards, they throw the flag. I've seen flaws in their game where, I mean, come on, to win that much in a row is very, 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 very difficult to do. But they've put themselves in such a great spot considering where they once were, and I have to appreciate that. So that's where we are with the Eagles. And with the 76ers, the moral victories is an interesting conversation. It's all about wins or losses. There's no such thing as moral victories. I can't get behind that. I can't. I'm sorry. When you don't have Joel, when Tobias is in and out of the lineup, Seth Curry's in and out of the lineup, Danny Green's in and out of the lineup, you're on the road. You don't have $30 million on your cap because Ben Simmons is sitting out, not being there for your team. And you're running with 7-8 guys and Isaiah Joe and Furkan Korkmaz and Charles Bassey and Paul Reed is playing legitimate minutes when you're on the road and you're battling and you're keeping your head above the water and you take Golden State. I wouldn't say to the wire. You have an excellent first half. You run out of gas in the second half a bit. I'm sorry. I give them credit for that. They come back 10-9. We're waiting to hear some news on Joel Embiid. I'm not going to pretend like that's not impressive or there's no positives to take out of that. Your number one positive is Tyrese Maxey's legit. Tyrese Maxey's a legitimate stud. Here's what I love most about him. We always talk about growth in sports, and of course it's easy to tie that to Mr. 2-5 Benjamin Simmons. We needed Tyrese to get better in a couple of different areas, and he's not perfect yet, obviously, but defensively was one, and I think we can definitely put a check mark next to that and appreciate that there's been growth in that area. How about drawing contacts and actually getting fouled, going to the charity stripe, and getting some free throws in there? Now, he's a smaller guy. He'll put in work in the offseason. I know it. He'll bulk up, and he'll just continue to learn in that area. But in what universe, in a blink of an eye, have we gone from, he really needs to find ways to draw contact to, wow, he's drawing contact and finishing the play off and getting an and one. Now it's a three-point play. It's happened overnight. It's happened with the snap of your fingers. That's not normally how it goes. Now, there's a long way to go, but the fact that he's already to this point where it's happened already defensively and getting contacts, he's really absorbing like a sponge all of this, whether it's Sam Cassell, whether it's Doc Rivers, whether it's just him in general and the work that he puts in off the floor, studying film, John Calipari, you name it. There's probably many, many, many people that can get some praise and should be acknowledged for where Tyrese Maxey is. It's just crazy to think same agent, they work out in the same summers. You see the picture of Ben Simmons sitting on the sideline while LeBron James and some others are watching Tyrese Maxey put up shots. They seem to be doing similar things in the offseason, at least being in the same area. I don't know the level of intensity, the level of efficiency, the level of buy-in factor during these workouts, but same agent, same spots, and the level of where one is compared to the other is so comical. And the fact that Ben Simmons can sit there and watch his team be undermanned, 8 guys, and sit there and watch them. It's sickening to me. It really is. It just shows that he isn't truly an athlete with that fire in his eyes. When I see Jalen Hurts on the sidelines, and he doesn't have the football in his hands yet, and the score is close and it's a battle, and they zoom in on his face after a nice drive that maybe resulted in a field goal to crack the Eagles back into a lead, or maybe it's they're down one possession now instead of two possessions. Whatever the case is, they zoom in on his face. Well, they've been up as of late, so I guess maybe that's a bad way to describe it. Let's say they kick a field goal and now they're up two scores, but he still wants the football back. You can tell the kid wants it. The kid has the demeanor. Let's appreciate that. Today is a day of appreciation. And before we open up the phone lines here, I do want to touch on the Flyers. Flyers Twitter. I will say, it might be worse than Sixers Twitter. It might be worse than Eagles Twitter. And that's hard to do. The sky is falling. They're not scoring right now. It's problematic. I don't think that they'll be this poor throughout 82 games. It's ugly. I think it's fair to say this is not good right now. And if you keep this up, you won't be seeing the playoffs this year. Carter Hart and Martin Jones have held you in a lot of games. So when I get asked the question, is this sustainable? What, good goaltending keeping you in games? Absolutely. Scoring this weak amount of goals? No, I don't think that's sustainable either. So when you take that and say they're going to be better eventually at scoring. I promise you that. This is disastrous. Are they disastrous? I know many of you are probably screaming at your radio, yes, this is the same team we've been watching for 30 years, which is always the answer. But I'm here to tell you it's not, though. It's not, because Chuck Fletcher did not envision this. Unfortunately, a lot of injuries have hurt the Flyers on where they're at. And that's not an excuse. Don't tell me Tampa Bay can find ways to win without Kucherov. The Flyers are not Tampa Bay. If you're comparing the Flyers to Tampa Bay and Florida and Carolina, then your expectations are just off. And to be honest with you, I want the Flyers to be that, but it's the NHL. Let me ask you what you thought about the Montreal Canadiens last year before they get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not telling you the Flyers are a Stanley Cup Finals team. Hockey's different. Hockey's not the NBA where you need a Joel Embiid, you need a LeBron James, you need a Kevin Durant. You watch the LA Kings win the cup as the eighth seed. You watch the St. Louis Blues go from the worst team in the league, Stanley Cup champions, the Montreal Canadiens last year. There's way more examples of teams that just sneak in and teams that just get hot at the right time. My point of this all is I'm more positive on the Flyers than the rest because I feel there's too much talent on this team, even with the injuries, to be this putrid on the power play. If you fix the power play, you score more goals, less stress on the goalies, and you're not as worried as 5-on-5 because you're actually producing. It really comes down to, for me, just if you fix the power play, a lot of these issues, I think, are dissected a bit differently. I don't understand why on November 26th, we're all demanding to have a defining word to describe this Flyers team. And you know what? You might be right. You might be right where they don't have enough to overcome Kevin Hayes and Ryan Ellis and Nick Seeler's playing 14 games to this point, 12 games to this point, however many it's been, and he's getting exposed. But most teams can't keep their head above water when Nick Seeler's playing way too much. Ryan Ellis was a special teams guy who can log in 20 to 22 minutes a night, and you're losing that. Kevin Hayes is your second center, and when they're playing in Tampa Bay the other night, they don't have Kevin Hayes. Then they lose Derek Brassard. You're down to 11 forwards on the road against the best team in hockey with the best netminder in hockey and one of the most explosive defensemen in Victor Hedman. It makes sense. It makes sense to lose that way. We watched the Eagles go through a miserable start to the year. Then they kind of figure themselves out a bit. Right now, this Flyer stretch is tough. And the unfortunate part for them is the Metropolitan teams are really hot at the top. Are the Rangers going to keep this up forever, though? What happens if in, let's say, a month and a half, is the Rangers keeping up this pace over 82? What happens when they go on a four-game skid? Are the Flyers going 3-0-1 during that time? And then things get interesting? We've seen this Flyers team go through insane level of highs and lows. They might not be good enough this year. And I think a lot of that does stem from losing 1D and 2C, your second center and your first defenseman. That was your biggest acquisition this offseason. Was the number one guy to play with Ivan Provorov. Justin Braun's been solid, but think about Justin Braun being on your third pair with Keith Yandel, who seems to be a mess 5-on-5, which historically he has been. That's always been him. If that's your sixth defenseman, fine. But if Justin Braun's playing with him, it brings this level of comfortableness with the stay-at-home defenseman instead of a Nick Seeler. It's not time to say it's all over. Should there be mini panic and some upset fans? Sure. It's getting taken to the extreme, though, that this team's a disaster, they're horrible, they're the worst we've ever seen, this is tragic. Maybe it ends up that way. It's just too early to define the Flyers as that. I feel you're applying all your emotions over the last handful of years. We were one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals with the bubble when they took the New York Islanders to Game 7. All the emotions over the last handful of years and through decades, I guess I should say, is really playing a role on the reaction. And I don't like that. So the positive side of this all, when we're analyzing the Flyers, is I'm telling you, they're not as bad as what their record said. They're not as bad as what they've been showing over this stretch. I believe it. Deep down in my heart, I believe it. Not enough to win a cup, but I don't think they're this either. They're somewhere in between. So 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. That is the phone number to hop into the conversation. It's a positive day. I'm in a good mood. I'm appreciating the Eagles. I'm appreciating the 76ers, Tyrese Maxey, the way he's been playing. They're keeping their head above water, and I honestly feel they showed some signs of toughness throughout the journey that they have went through to this point. 610-632-0975. And Football Friday is today, and it's on the Fanatic. It's brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. All right, on the other side, we'll continue the conversation. I'm Broads. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Hunter Brody. The 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. 610-632-0975. Now is a great time to climb in. 610-632-0975. Today's a day of positivity. Today's a day where you analyze where we're at with some of these teams and you look at the good in them. And I'll be honest, most of the time I do like to kind of dive deeper and think a bit more on why and peel back the layers is the perfect way to describe things. But today, maybe it's Thanksgiving was yesterday. I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving with their loved ones. I know I did. It was a great time. Maybe it's just, hey, it's the holiday season. You start to see Christmas commercials. I put the Christmas tree up already. I got the two dogs going crazy trying to bite the ornaments. That's normally not a positive thing. That puts me down, actually, because now I got to scream at the dogs. Then I think they hate me, but then they lick my face anyway. And then, you know. But anyway. We're having a positivity day, and here's a stat from Ruben Frank. The Cowboys' chance to win the NFC East dropped from 77 to 62 with the loss to the Raiders. The Eagles improved from 12 to 20 to win the division. If the Eagles win on Sunday, they improved to 28 to win the division, and the Cowboys dropped to 57. Not something I'm going to put all my money into. Not something I'll put all my eggs in one basket, that's going to be the case that the Eagles still do this thing. But the fact that it's there, it's interesting. That's all. It's interesting. And when you think of the Eagles' schedule, we do know how opened up it is, where there's no longer the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's no longer the Kansas City Chiefs who look to figure it out a bit. No, it's more, you know, the New York Jets, the New York Giants. They're a disaster. This Giants team, it cracks me up. I know a lot of fans of the New York teams, and it's just so funny to me because they talk about Gettleman. And of course, here in this city, you talk about Howie Roseman. Now, Howie Roseman is far from a perfect product. I don't know how many perfect products there are at the general manager position because we're all human beings and there are mistakes to be made. But I look at this offensive line. Jordan Mailata is 24 years old. Landon Dickerson is 23 years old. Jack Driscoll is 24 years old. And by the way, if someone was to go down, do you feel awful about Nate Herbig? Do you feel awful about Andre Dillard? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Some will irrationally and say that he's horrendous, first-round pick, not worth, whatever. No, he can hold his own for sure. Now, I'm not telling you, I love the pick. I think he starts in other teams. Watch the Giants play. Watch these other teams play. We are spoiled with offensive line play that we just got someone who can manhandle everybody in the seventh round. And every time I bring this up, the answer is, well, it's not really Howie. It's Jeff Stoutland. And then I bring up something else Howie did. Well, that doesn't really matter because this. And then I'll bring something up. Well, I mean, he technically got lucky. And I just feel if we're constantly, whenever we bring something up with Howie Roseman, it's, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Well, when is it just going to be, yeah, but you're just hating the guy and he actually made a good decision. He actually made a good pick. There are times where he makes good picks. Going back to the 2018 draft, Dallas Goedert, Avante Maddox, Josh Sweat, Jordan Mailata, and Matt Pryor, who's got traded to Indianapolis, and I see reports that, oh, that trade could have possibly changed the trajectory of that offensive line. But regardless, he's not here. That's irrelevant. The other four are. I can't stand the yeah, but. It's always yeah, but it's Jeff Stoutland. I mean, come on. So then he can never do anything. We're always moving the goalpost. I get it. You don't like the way he looks, and you don't like the way he talks. And there's been some tough draft picks. Jalen Reagor, he's a disaster. J-Jaw, disaster. We know the influence of the owner, though. And I'm bringing this up because today's positivity, I'm looking at the offensive line, who Howie Roseman put together here, and this offensive line is everyone loves it right now. Everyone's loving the way they're playing, and they love this brand of football. Well, some positivity here is Howie Roseman put this thing together, and in the 2018 draft, it's been good. If you look at the 2021 draft, you can't really come up to conclusion yet. But Landon Dickerson sure looks strong. Devontae Smith, we're enamored with his skill set and the way that he utilizes his route running and he can get open and he can make contested throws. That's important. The 2019 draft, well, if Jalen, or the 2020 draft, excuse me, if Jalen Hurts ends up being your guy, now I might not love the way they went about it and I might not love the way they kind of set the organization on fire with Carson Wentz and signing him to the contract and then going in another direction and all. But if Jalen Hurts is your answer, they got the answer in the second round and you can't discredit that. I don't know. They got Jack Driscoll in the fourth. Sean Bradley, you go special teams. How about J-Jaw, by the way? Speaking of special teams, the fact he made that catch at the end of the game cracks me up. Just cracks me up. But I'm looking through their draft picks and all. Like Davion Taylor in the third round. There's some upside to him at this point. Kayvon Wallace in the fourth round. You also have to label the draft picks with the round. You know, you can't expect every fifth round pick. By the way, Quez Watkins was a sixth round pick as well. He has promise also. Not perfect. Not elite. Not a GM that never misses. But I'm just saying, as of late, it's been better than the 2017s of the world. And I think that deserves some sort of respect. Because no one ever gives him respect. I'm going to on Positivity Day. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Hunter. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I think I might have, I don't know. People don't like Howie Roseman.
Well, I mean, I think the problem with Howie and by extension Jeffrey, I think, is neither of them are football guys.
You know who's a football guy? Joe Douglas. How are the Jets doing? I just think it's that football guy is like one of the most overrated things in the world. Like we were told Joe Douglas was the reason they had success. Oh, yeah, tell that to the Jets. I mean, well, you know.
I understand. You just have to, I think, separate out the owner from the scouts, and you know the GM obviously has to be an interface there. But you know you have to listen to your scouts. I mean, too often it seems to me, and I forget the guy's name. Who was the corner that had the Achilles tear?
Oh, Sidney Jones.
Yeah, they overdrafted him, and then you know it didn't work out for us.
Yeah, 2017 was a disaster. So I think if you look back, 2017 was a mess. But if you look at 2018, 2019. I mean, Miles Sanders was in that 2019. Dillard ended up not playing. But that's because you found such an unbelievable talent in the seventh round. I don't think Dillard's as bad as what people say he is. He's not the perfect left tackle, but I think he could play in this league. But when you find Maialata in the seventh, yeah, Andre Dillard's going to get kicked to the curb because Maialata looks to be something that we talk about the way we do with Jason Peters and Trey Thomas if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard part for me to accept is the swings and misses with high draft picks.
That's a good point. That's fair.
You know, I mean, you got Rager out there. I have no idea if he does anything well. Ortega Whiteside, I would say the same thing about. You know, you're just wasting draft capital.
Yeah, but my thing is, Greg, is like, you're right. They're awful picks. But my point is, if you look around the league, like who, when you look at some of these other like people who are in the spot to make picks, they're missing too. You go back to the Lane Johnson draft, and the Lane Johnson pick is the one that stands out. Every other GM missed big time throughout that entire first round and those first high draft picks where, you're right, it's awful. And the Jalen Ragers, and as of late, the 2017 draft, that was bad. 2020, Rager was bad, but there's Quez Watkins, there's Jack Driscoll, who's being a big part of your success on the offensive line. We don't know what Davion Taylor is. You might have found your franchise quarterback with the second overall pick, or the, excuse me, the second round pick. It's not perfect, but other GMs are swinging and missing just as much. We just don't care because we're not as emotionally tied. But if you're playing the percentages, he's right there with everybody else. It's not as bad as what people say it is, and I guess that's kind of my point.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just, it seems like there's obvious choices. I forget the receiver now. Was it Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, that hurts.
I forget who it was.
Yeah.
There was a receiver out there that everyone was talking about all this upside and what a tremendous talent he was. And
yeah, they screwed that up. They screwed that up. They really did. And thanks, Greg. And, you know, if we know the owner impacted the J-Jaw pick, it's just hard for me to imagine that that's the only one. That's the only one was just J-Jaw. And then nobody else. Like, doesn't Jalen Rager smell like a J-Jaw style of pick? Well, if we know the owner impacted J-Jaw, I mean, I don't have the information to tell you exactly it was Jeffrey Lurie with impact on Rager, but it smells in the same exact category. And I've said this a billion times. If they end up one day moving on from Howie Roseman, I'm not going to sit here and cry and say that there's no way they could find anyone else in the history of the world to figure out how to be a good general manager in the city of Philadelphia. I'm not tied to him forever. When I'm starting to look at the most recent, I heard John Kincaid talk about this in the morning show, in the John Kincaid show, and I actually texted him during the time. I'm like, you're so right. Everyone's just emotionally tied to this guy and despise him so much that they're blinded and unwilling to give him any sort of respect on any picks ever. And I think it just gets taken to an extreme where my positivity today is, let's take a look past 2017 and 2018. That draft, I have to say, Goddard, Maddox, Sweat, Maialata, those are all important pieces to the future here. Avante Maddox is good in the slot. Dallas Goedert can be your tight end one if he plays the way he played, grabbing contested balls the way that he did. Maialata could be your future left tackle to a really high level. There's misses throughout. I think these drafts are trending back in the right direction. If you look at it from 2017 to now, not perfect. No such thing as no misses ever. Show me a GM that never has any misses. It seems they're starting to trend back in the right direction. And we'll see with these first round draft picks as of next year. I mean, this is going to be very telling to the future of this franchise when you have three first round draft picks. And what are they going to do with the quarterback? Are they going to target defense only? It's fascinating.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.